Verse 7, neither be you idolaters as some of them. Now, what is one of the first things that happens when you cut off that relationship between you and God? You commit idolatry, either of another human being or of a human being and idols. And that's exactly what we were talking about when we first began, about those people on that Oprah Winfrey show, that they all wanted to worship God in their own image, their own way, their own methods, rather than saying, well, God is God. He made us all. How does God say to worship him? And isn't that simple? But no, they're implacable. Absolutely implacable. Well, what if I'm a Buddhist over here and I'm trying to find God through Buddha? You're not going to find God through the bones of Buddha. He's dead. They still know where his grave is. He's dead. His bones are there. The grave of Jesus Christ is empty. He is risen. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Now you know why the devil wanted the bones of Moses. Make a great religion out of the bones of Moses. Just think we could have done. Last night, Dolores and Stephen were watching this thing on Pompeii and Herculeum on Channel 54 out of San Jose. And it showed that they had, in one of these towns over there, just to show you how people get carried away with their idolatry, they had in a round vial, hermetically sealed, so it wouldn't rot or spoil, the blood of one of the saints, the people that they sainted. And they would swing this back and forth, and the people would kiss the bowl, this little round thing, where the blood was on the inside, see, you know. And that was really an eye-opener to Stephen. He'd never seen anything like that, where people get carried away with this kind of thing. But if you would go over and tell those people that what you're doing is insane, you would be run out of town, stoned, killed, thrown over the cliff. Okay? But those things lead to idolatry. That's what the whole system of Mystery Babylon religion has gotten into. Not just Catholics. This whole thing of the harmonic convergence that they're going to do tomorrow. It has almost every pagan religion in the world involved. Catholicism, Hinduism, Mayanism, Peruvianism, Egyptology, the whole thing. And it's amazing. And right here in this area, Mount Tamalpais, where's that? Right down the road? Off of San Francisco. Okay, Mount Tamalpais. And they're all meeting at sunrise. Where is the condemnation of Israel for what they did? They worshipped on all the high hills, right? Harmonic convergence. Now, it doesn't matter how many people get down and think good thoughts or positive thoughts, unless God decides it's going to happen, it ain't going to happen. It will not. Okay, let's go on here. These things lead to idolatry. Verse 7. Neither be you idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what happens when you have idolatry. It gets around to debauchery, foolishness, drunkenness, illicit sex. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. You talk about something, take your breath away. If you see that happen, well, take your breath away. You talk about the goriness of TV. Well, don't travel in Sinai with God leading you out of Egypt and rebel against him. It's going to be a gory mess. Okay? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Well, I tell you, when you have knowledge and understanding and that connection with God, don't go out and do those stupid things. You know, I think by the time I get done reading this book, 50 Years in Church of Rome, and sit back and pray about and think about all the things that we've gone through, I think I can begin to make a little more sense out of it, because there were people who were setting idols up in the hearts of people to cut them off from God, which led to what? Alcoholism, fornication, divorce. And all of that is because of idolatry of a human being. Now think about it. Maybe if we look at it that way, maybe if we look at the experiences we have gone through, we're looking at some of the things that the church has gone through because the leaders and the people who knew better were leading the people astray. And so there was the correction that came. Tempt God. Verse 10, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, that doesn't mean to murmur, or that is, in saying this, what they were doing, they were murmuring against God. They were not trying to point out something that was wrong that needed to be corrected. They were saying that God was wrong and he needed to be corrected. That's the kind of murmuring they were doing. Who's able to give us water in the wilderness? Who's able to give us flesh out here? God took us out here to kill us and all our children. See? That's not the way to approach God. Now, all these happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Nobody get all self-righteous, you know, and the comment was made and put out in print. And I'm not trying to beat on Herbert Armstrong, but he put out in print that, you know, I'm so close to God that Satan has no hold on me at all. And bam-o, he got it. That's tempting God. And how many people believed it? You know, why did they believe it? Because they were cut off from that relationship with God. Any minister that stands in the pulpit and says that you have to check with the minister before you know what's right and wrong before God is cutting you off from God. You have to know from your own Bible, and if he's going to teach you anything, it better be from the Bible. And it better be the Word of God, or he's going to start putting the chains of darkness upon you with the idolatry of following a man, which then leads to the idolatry of physical things. Now, remember when we had Pentecost down here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Okay? It's exactly what has happened to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now they are bringing in Christmas trees, which is an idol, statues of Jesus, howbeit not made of marble, but cut out of paper to teach the little kiddies. Right? That's how it comes. So let's stay true to God. Verse 13. There has no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful, and that's what always to look to. Look to God. He is faithful. I guarantee you, every time you do or I do, trust in a man, what's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed because why? A man is not God. God is faithful. So we look to him, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Sometimes we don't think we're able. Sometimes we don't know or understand what God is working out in our lives. And sometimes it's very difficult to go through. But God is able. God will deliver us. That you are, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry. You see what their liberty was getting them into. They were coming back and getting into idolatry. And they were coming back and getting into things that they should not be doing. Just like the Seventh-day Adventist today, bringing in the Christmas tree into the church, having Christmas for the kiddies. And we don't do it like the pagans. Of course we don't do it like the pagans. But we do it so it's a nice family thing. And we remember Christ. You see, all these justifications sound so nice, but are not true. So what happens when you go that far? I speak as to wise men, and you judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or the fellowship? Now, it's an unfortunate translation here from the Greek. And it's the only place where it's, the word fellowship is translated communion. And that comes from the Catholic background of even the Protestants who translated this New Testament, okay? Is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Now, put in your notes there, 1 John, the first chapter. The whole chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, the first chapter, which says, and truly our fellowship is with His Son and the Father. That's where our fellowship is. Verse 17 now, 1 Corinthians 10. For we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread, that is Christ. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? They had the system there. Okay? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to the idols is anything? Well, those are just physical things. But he says, verse 20, but this I say, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. That's what they are doing. They can take perfectly clean flesh that God says is good to eat and offer it to Baal or offer it to Zeus. And I saw this thing, National Geographic thing, where they were trying to, and it's all going to come together, all this one world religion, but are showing how that the different religionists hypnotize themselves with the spirits, especially the Hindus, where they can put hooks in their back and be lifted up with these hooks and do terrible, horrible things, eat glass, put spears down their throat, puncture their cheeks and their nose, and scourge themselves with scourges. All of this in the name of religion. And just absolutely stupid, see. And that is to demons. They run around, and that's why so much of this rock music and everything is so bad, because it is primitive music by heathens who have created a modern rock music for the same purpose of getting in contact with the spirits, of which this harmonic convergence that they have is an outgrowth of this whole movement in the United States. It all fits together, see. Okay, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. That's where the line draws. You see? When you start crossbreeding the religion, you start crossbreeding the practices, then you end up worshiping demons because you cut yourself off from God and you have idolatry. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Cannot do that. That's why God has to call us. That's why we have to be faithful to God. That's why in a lot of these things, even though they may be, you know, and it's typical of Americans. Americans are, I would have to say, very naive and innocent people. And when they see a lot of these pagan things, which they haven't grown up in a pagan idolatrous country, what do they do? Oh, they say, that's sweet, that's nice, that's quaint. Oh, look what they do. And they get sucked right up into it. I tell you, we Americans are just uncanny that way. Verse 22, do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Now that's referring to, obviously then, all lawful things are lawful to Him. It isn't lawful to commit adultery. It's not lawful to commit idolatry. He just told them, flee idolatry. He just told them, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. He just told them, you cannot eat of the Lord's table and the table of demons. So what he's talking about here, obviously, all lawful things are lawful. But all lawful things are not expedient, for they do not edify. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. In other words, don't go out and just do your own thing for the sake of doing it. and say, everybody else be damned, you consider the other person. Whatsoever is sold in the shanties or the shambles, that eat, not asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If it's slaughtered before an idol of Zeus, that doesn't contaminate the physical meat. If any of them that believe, bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, obviously, then, it doesn't mean to eat pork, because it's talking about the things which are lawful. Obviously, then, it doesn't mean to take strychnine, otherwise you die. Okay? But don't sit there with a whole room full of pagans. You know, what if you're invited to go to lunch and most of the people there are Catholics? Well, you don't stand on the table and denounce the Knights of Columbus when they pass the butter and the bread, you know? And if they're all eating pork and shrimp and things like that, you just bypass it and don't say, oh, you dumb Catholics, don't you know the Bible says you're not to eat those things? No. I imagine you're all going to run up and shake your hand and say, boy, I want to be converted to your religion right now. Please tell me about it, huh? Never happen. Okay? So you just bypass it. You just bypass it. One of the best ways to bypass it is to say, well, boy, you know, I just don't eat that kind of thing because it's not good for my health. And most of them will say, yeah, you know, this fat is not the best thing in the world, and I think my doctor told me not to. But it does taste good, you know. Pass the salami, you know. So you know, have you ever been in a situation like that? Sure. Okay, that's what he's talking about. But if any man say unto you, it's offered in sacrifice to an idol. In other words, if they know that you're a believer, and they know that you do not follow the idols anymore, and they come and deliberately provoke you and say, this is sacrifice to an idol. And in their mind, they're going to say, now, what are you going to do? Or say, oh, it is. I'll bypass that, please. That's what he's talking about. Eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not yours, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by the grace of God be partaker, why am I evil spoken of, or spoken of for that which I have given thanks? Wherefore, neither eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, can you imagine how delicate that church in Corinth was? That he would have to say, don't give offense to anybody, neither the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God? Why, that must have been a touchy church. Everybody on edge. And he's trying to smooth it out and make it nice and acceptable. Imagine after he died, that church just flew apart in all kinds of directions. Okay, verse 33. Even as I please all in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So that shows the attitude the Apostle Paul had. Okay? And that's what we need to do. And that helps stop a lot of antagonism and hostility if it can be done. However, there's still the choice that a person has to make. You cannot force religion down people. You can't stuff it down their throat. Because the truth of God is so powerful that a lot of people can't take it. And besides, God has got to call them. Besides, God has got to call them. Okay. Now I'm going to read to you some excerpts out of this to show the type of mentality which breeds idolatry, and one thing will lead to the next. whenever you are told that a man stands in place of God and that man's word is the word of God, it's going to lead to trouble for everybody. Because unless that person is reading truly the word of God, and of course the Catholics, they're forbidden to read the Bible. No, they're reading it, and it's leading to a lot of trouble. Leading to a lot of trouble. Yes. And that's why the American Catholics, it's the American Catholics who are doing the reading more than anybody else. And the Pope is coming on this visit to chastise the Americans because they're not in agreement with the Pope. See? All right. Now, let me read some of these things. More than that, all the efforts of the principals in the colleges and convents tend to prove to the pupil that his intelligence is his greatest and most dangerous enemy. See, how many times were we told in the past you can't trust your own mind? Well, if you yield to God and God's Spirit, you can trust God. See. And that just jumped out of the page like I couldn't believe it. That is like an untamed animal which must be constantly kept in chains. That's what you have to do with the carnal mind. If you don't have the Spirit of God and yielding to God, you're always having to what? Beat yourself up to make yourself obedient, and that's the whole thrust of Catholic religion. You do it by works. Every day the scholar is told that his reason was not given to him, that he might be guided by it, but only that he may know the hand of the man by whom he must be guided, and the hand is none other than the Pope's. All the resources of language, all the most ingenious bits of wisdom, all the passages of both the Fathers and the Holy Scriptures bearing on this question are arranged and perverted with an incontrovertible, with an inconceivable art to demonstrate to the pupil that his reason has no power to teach him anything else than that which must be subjected to the Supreme Pontiff of Rome, who is the only foundation of truth and light given by people to guide the intelligence and to enlighten and save the world. Now remember, this was written just about the turn of the century, and he spent 50 years in Rome. And during the time that he was growing up, the Pope had the Papal States and was indeed the ruler of the world. If you have that book by Raymond McNair, The Ascent of Power, go back and read that, and how the Pope split the world between the Spanish and Portuguese by decree. And that's why they're so angry at the Protestants and the English and the Germans and the Americans. Rome and her colleges and convents brings up or raises up the youth from the earliest years. But to what height does she permit the young man or woman to be raised? Never higher than the feet of the Pope. As soon as his intellect, guided by the Jesuits, has ascended to the feet of the Pope, it must remain there, prostrate itself, and fall asleep. The Pope, that is the great object toward which all the intelligence of the Roman Catholics must be converged. It is the sun of the world, the foundation and only support of Christian knowledge and civilization, so they say. I mean, this is something. These words are absolutely dynamite. Now, let me read another section. Okay, 66. Galileo. Galileo, the one who discovered that the earth was round and that the earth went around the sun instead of the earth being the center of the universe. Okay. On the 22nd day of June, 1663, Galileo was obliged to fall on his knees in order to escape the cruel death to which he was to be condemned by the order of the Pope. And he goes on showing that all great scientific knowledge has come not from Catholic countries, but from Protestant countries. And he's showing the difference that the Protestant countries were at that time the most progressive, the most powerful, the most blessed nations around. And at that time they were. Okay? And he signed with his own hand the following retraction. I abjure, curse, and detest the error of the heresy of the motion of the earth. Etc., etc. That learned man had to degrade himself by swearing a most egregious lie, namely, that the earth does not move around the sun. Thus it is that the wings of the great eagle of Rome were clipped by the scissors of the Pope. That mighty intelligence was bruised, fettered, and as much as possible to the Church of Rome, degraded, silenced, and killed. So he figured it'd be better to go ahead and do that. And, you know, the movie makes a little more light of it than what really happened. He turned around and walked out and said, well, the earth is still round. You know. Okay, but God would not allow that such a giant intellect should be entirely strangled by the bloody hands of the implacable enemy of light and truth, the Pope. Sufficient strength and life had remained in Galileo to enable him to say, upon rising, this will not prevent the earth from moving. Now then, he waxes a little bit satirical here. The infallible decree of the infallible Pope Urbine VIII against the motion of the earth is signed by cardinals. He lists all of them, about six of the, you know, the great intellectual cardinals. It says, in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ, and the plenitude of which resides in his vicar the Pope, that proposition that the earth is not the center of the world and that it moves with a derenial motion is absurd, philosophically false, and erroneous in faith. What a glorious thing for the Pope of Rome to be infallible. He knows infallibly that the earth does not move around the sun. And what a blessed thing for Roman Catholics to be governed and taught by such an infallible being. In consequence of that infallible decree, you will admire the following act of humble submission of two of the celebrated Jesuit astronomers, which they said, we agree with Newton, which says the motions and physics and the gravity and everything. However, we still agree with the Pope. Now, granted, Worldwide Church of God was not into that kind of intellect, but for the Church of God to allow that kind of, I am the only apostle, I am the only one through whom knowledge is to be given and doctrine to be taught. Hey, oh, that's not right. That is not right. So anyway, when I read some of these things, I said, oh, I can understand, you know. And for the minister, you know, to act like the Catholic priest in confessional, to come into someone's house and demand this and that. No, that's all wrong, brethren. That was all wrong. Just all wrong. And I can see that clearly now. You know? So the greatest thing is that we have that connection with God. And together in love, we all draw close to God. That's what it's all about, and that's where it's at. And that's what it has to be. And it, even though it's been sitting there for years, not reading this book, it has really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Though this is against the Catholics, I can see the tools and devices of Satan, where once they get a foothold into the church, will God allow that? Yes, he will allow that. Yes, he will. Just read Revelation 2 and 3, what's happened to the Church of God, because people allowed men to come between them and God. You know, the same psychology, like with the Seventh-day Adventist, that they had Ellen G. White. And the true Seventh-day Adventist will follow Ellen G. White rather than God, though the Bible is clearly the opposite, and there is a debate within the Seventh-day Adventist about that. Clear debate concerning that, right? Right, and the same thing with the Worldwide Church of God. When they, as you said, agreed to agree for the sake of salary and creature comforts, then they were doing the opposite of what the Israelites did, though it was the same thing. Only here, in the case of the ministry and those in charge in the hierarchy, they had been blessed of God, so they said, we will agree to agree so we can retain these blessings. And forgot the scripture which said that what gain is it to you if you gain the whole world, lose your soul? See? So they did the exact same thing. They said in their heart, if I agree, I will keep my power and position in what I have, because if I disagree, I'm out, and can God provide for me if I am out? Rather than saying, I'm going to stand before God for truth and what is right, and if I am out from men, praise God. See, Rather, they stood, and what did they do? They helped create the idol of the apostle, and everyone fell at his feet. No, that's right about this English only in California, that the minority is trying to come back and say, we want to speak any language. Well, I think I have a clear insight into some of these things. The Catholics almost are at the point of taking over this nation. Okay? Part of their way to do it is to divide the people and bring in their own. Let them keep their own language. Let them keep their own religion. And they will gain by majority. So, you know who's behind? As well as the Chinese. That's right. That's right. I'm about ready to go to the city council and apply for minority benefits in Hollister. Believe me. Okay? No, I tell you. I tell you this. The hand of God in prophecy is set, and there is no turning it back. And the Americans, blessed of God for rejecting that horrible system when they left the Church of England and left the Catholic Church, have not stood for right and truth in God. And they only went so far. They didn't go far enough. And being kind and merciful and understanding, they got duped into the chains of darkness and slavery, and we're seeing the result of it. I don't blame you for getting mad about that, England. I was stomping mad when I saw that on the news, too. Who are these people? But I understand. And I understand why the Bible is not read in the schools. Used to be McGuffey readers. What did McGuffey readers start out? In the beginning, God. See? Who got it out? The Catholics and the Jews got into politics and got rid of the Bible and God, because the Catholics didn't like the Protestant God and the Jews did not like Jesus. That's exactly where it is. And I understand it. I never really crystallized on me until I understood, who killed Abraham Lincoln and the reasons why. You need to read that book, The Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. That is absolutely shocking. I'll get the information to you last week. Yes, Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln got this priest off of charges that the Catholics tried to nail him through a civil court using ecclesiastical law to nail him. And Abraham Lincoln absolutely, by legal means, slew the Catholics. And when it was over with, he thanked Abraham Lincoln for doing it, but cried and said, "You are a marked man. The Jesuits will get you." In the book, The Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, it is shown that the Catholics have poisoned four presidents. They've assassinated two. So when the first Catholic president came on scene, can you imagine what was behind the scenes and going on? And I think God decreed that Kennedy would get it, both of them. They are evil, murderous, lecherous people. Absolutely. That's right. I say it with conviction. And Teddy Kennedy better sit back, and he better count his fingers and toes and do nothing else, because if he does, God is going to get that murderous blip, and he's going to do him in. Now, I also understand why the law is so complicated, why you can't get anything through the law. There are too many diabolical Catholics and Jews in the legal and judging profession that you can't get anything straight. That's right. That's right. That's why it's so complicated. That's why it's so evil and wretched, because we've turned this society over to a damnable pagan way. And we are going down, and the hand is set. The clock is running, and there's no turning it back. I mean, you aren't going to turn it back. Just no way. So that's why we have to grow in grace and knowledge with Christ. How long it's going to go? I don't know. How many years is it going to take? I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just around the corner. Other times I think, boy, got a long way to go. Okay, so we'll go ahead and end here. I'm sure we'll have many more things to say about it, but this is the sermon I had prepared last week, okay? And in going through it, it appeared kind of routine and dull when I was doing it. So last week when I got here, that's why we went through the miscellaneous one that I did. And in the meantime, I read this book, and this became anything but dull and routine. It became absolutely alive. So we'll pick her up again here in the near future. That's all for this.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.